Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm speaking with Michael Casey, who is a part of the Rhode Island National Organization for Marriage. You might remember having Brian Brown on our show before, and he's good friends with him, and he helped them set up the chapter in Rhode Island. Thank you so much for joining us today, Michael. We're going to talk about gay marriage, and I first want to talk a little bit about why is it important for people who are pro-life, call themselves pro-life, to be against the marriage of a man and a man or a woman and a woman.
Well, you can approach it, I guess, two different ways. One is, biblically speaking, it's throughout the whole Bible and in our faith that that's the way some natural law is for a man and a woman to be together and to have children. And then the second is, if you throw it out aside, because a lot of the fight for traditional marriage, it's interesting when you go in there and present in front of our politicians how they say you got to take it off the table.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, because it's separation of church and state.
Yeah, you can't talk about that, and they actually badger you sometimes right. When you start quoting it. So let's talk about the other side as well. Is when you look at marriage between a man and a woman. First, it's the best. It's been proven scientifically everywhere you look that it's the best for the child, and in a committed relationship, it's the best for the child and the mother. The child is brought up in a healthy environment, and the woman is not left alone with the burdens.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's why marriage is so important between a man and a woman.
And so having the marriage and the family be the building block of society, it's obviously more healthy for society in general.
Yes, and there's a lot of examples where fatherless families, crime is higher with the children. There's a lot of statistics that show that you need a very strong, committed father and mother working together to raise children.
Right.
And that's what we should be striving for, and we really need to come back to that as the core, as you said, the building blocks of society.
And I think most people understand that. How many states have actually had referendums on the gay marriage issue?
There's been 31 times when it was brought to the people, and every time it was voted for traditional marriage, that marriage should be between a man and a woman.
And yet we have a few states who have, Connecticut included, who have approved of gay marriage. And how did that come about?
Well, it's interesting. On the way here, I was talking to my dad, because we have civil unions being voted on in Rhode Island tomorrow in the Judiciary Committee. And I think it's how it came about was people didn't understand what they were getting into, and there's a lack of education and understanding of what this means. And when you hear that it's, you know, reciprocal rights, you know, if someone's dying in the hospital, giving someone else those rights to help that person or to make decisions, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. But really what is not told is what's happening in the school systems and the family unit being attacked from all angles. Mm-hmm. And so how it came about is a small minority also having a lot of money to influence the politicians. So the people don't want it, but they're putting the politicians in place. And what's happening is we're getting these laws passed, and the people are like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
Well, we voted the people in, and there's been, in some cases, betrayal, where they said one thing and then did another. And I think people are too busy. They're raising families. You can't keep up with all the laws happening, and this just slides through. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening, in my opinion.
I mean, right. Well, and I know in Connecticut, we really fought the civil unions, and you know, people were saying, "How can you fight the civil unions, gay civil unions?" And we kept saying, "Well, as soon as the paper dries, or even before the paper dries, it's going to be in court that civil unions is not the same as marriage, and we need the same rights, and blah 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 blah." And oh, lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. That in Connecticut, the courts overturned a law that was, you know, a civil unions law, and we've got gay marriage in Connecticut. And I live in Massachusetts now, and so they've had gay marriage even longer. And I can tell you, when you talk about the repercussions in society and in the family, they're there in the schools, you know. I mean, kindergarten on up, you learn about, you know, they have to learn about gay couples and gay marriage and the gay mm-hmm. family. And this is something that I would want to protect my children from.
Well, if you speak with the same-sex marriage proponents, they say that is exactly what we should be doing. seriously, I've watched it at the State House in Rhode Island. It's like that is the new, the family structure is changed. It's not what it used to be, and it shouldn't be. You know, as my older, my parents would say, you know, we wouldn't even think of this stuff 50 years ago. Now it's mainstream, and everything's mainstream, and everything is, this is just the new way it is. So it's fascinating when you're right, because I've seen the things that are being passed out in Massachusetts tonight. It's offensive. And I've even experienced it in my pediatrician's office in Rhode Island, where they're passing out stuff about transgender and everything. And you go, well, I don't. This is not your place to be educating my children. And the thing that really came to head in California, in Oakland, I saw a YouTube video taped public about a bullying. It was a bullying tolerance education of first graders. You may have even seen this piece where the guy's talking about, you may wake up and be a woman today, and tomorrow you may come in, you may feel like a boy, and that's normal, and that's okay. And there's other children, and what it is, it's tolerance and trying to build it so that you, they're confused. The point is, it was going across the children's faces, and they're like, I don't, really, I should be thinking that way. Oh, so maybe I'm a girl and I'm five in a man's body. You don't, I think there's a time and a place, and I think it's the parents' decision for those things, not education and government.
Something they should be talking about in school. I thought, what happened to reading and writing and arithmetic?
You got it. I mean, that's why I'm so active and I'm in Rhode Island. I'm saying people don't see it coming, but it's already in Massachusetts, and it's in Connecticut. And what's happening is a lot of people are not educated. They don't know what's going on. You can't keep up with the laws and the changes. And a lot of these things happen last minute, like in New York. It was like last minute, close the doors, let's scribble on this thing, change it real fast. There's no thought process in it. They just want to get it through. And the stronger
people... Before anybody finds out.
And it's just not right.
So tell us a little bit about what happened in New York, because this is really new news. Mm-hmm. So what's going on in New York?
Well, I've been getting Brian's emails, and today, just about a couple hours ago, I got one that explained in the local paper and interviews with the politicians that literally Cuomo had an 11 o'clock news presentation that he had to give on this. And he basically had people with wires in their ears. They were waiting for this thing to get voted on so it could go to press that night. And they basically shut the doors. They cut off the people that wanted to speak, even the same-sex marriage proponents. Parker was one of them that was livid. He wanted to talk about his bill, and they said, you can't talk right now. You got to sit down. That's not even protocol. That's almost, I don't know if it's illegal or you're not supposed to be able to do that. All the rules were changed, were squeezed, voted on. People wanted to leave. They locked the doors so that they couldn't get out because they wanted to keep everyone. It was nuts. And
have they ever done this on any other issue?
No. I mean, again, this is from and I could even read the excerpt from it, but it was like all these things, just the rules got turned upside down. And they wanted to get this thing through so badly in New York that they just made it happen.
They
made it happen, and the thing that you'll see in the news is, we made it happen. But you don't know, it's kind of like you ever hear the story, you don't want to hear how laws are made, and you don't want to hear how sausage is made. You know, it's like, it's all mixed up.
And is it one of these things where they just figure, well, you know, people oppose it? Because I don't think that, I mean, let's say they put it to referendum in New York, mm-hmm. like other states. Would it pass?
I don't think so, because it's never passed when it went out to the people.
Yeah.
I mean, the people, when they get educated on this bill and this what they're doing, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's not good. And but it's when you're, there's certain things that are highlighted, civil rights, fairness, equality. Those are all good things that we all want. When you look behind of what's happening with the children, with society, with how the education and the changes take place when it rolls out over five mm-hmm. or 10 years, mm-hmm. like you're seeing in Massachusetts, then it's a slow thing. And it's dangerous.
And this is exactly what they want. I mean, like you said, they wrap it up in a civil rights, you know, it's all about fairness and, you know, what American doesn't want to be fair.
Right.
And so they get it passed, like you said, and do they just feel, you know, oh, now that it's passed, you know, people might complain a little bit, but that's not what's going to bring them to the polls. Is that what they're thinking? Because I know in Connecticut, they still have, you know, the same losers that voted in the gay marriage.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's there's so many bigger issues, I think, in the average person's mind. You know, people trying to, you know, keep a job and things like that, that you kind of get a pass on some of these things as a politician. And there's long-term things. You think of all the laws that were put in place on divorce, how fast it is to get a divorce, on abortion, all those things. And they say the sky didn't fall the next day, and it didn't. You know, but it was a slow, there's a slow erosion of that core family unit. It's been going on for the last 30, 40 years. And this is just another one of those steps that breaks the family apart.
And, You're absolutely right.
And the government inserting itself into the family. It becomes law. It becomes law to teach these things in the school system. And as a parent, you have no control over that.
No.
And even in the pediatrician's office, when I went in and I saw this pamphlet, I was lucky. My 13-year-old daughter went in for a physical, and I said, well, I'll go in and wait. There was the room in the back. And in the clear plexiglass thing, there was one on you're reaching puberty. So I picked that thing up and opened it up. It talks about transgender, homosexuality, everything, and it's all right, and talked all about safe sex. I'm sitting there going, she's like 13 years old. Why is this visibly at eye level? If I wasn't there, curiosity, open up. And I think that's a discussion my wife and I should have, not the pediatrician. So I wrote a nice letter to the pediatrician, said, why is this here? And she says, we have to have it there. No apology.
What?
No apology. I ended up leaving right after that. I had a conversation with her on the phone. She called and said, I got your letter. I said, yeah. I said, I have a concern because I think that's something that I should be talking to her about, not just visibly in the room. She goes, well, the children don't talk to their parents about those subjects, and we have to. And so we have to have it available.
That is not true.
Now, I even gave her a pass, and I said, well, at least have it behind the counter. So if you need to pull something out, you can. But that was visibly in a clear market-driven piece, you know, a kiosk-type thing. And I don't think that's the place for it. And we're at odds with what's right and where the parent should sit versus the teacher or the doctor. And I think that's where law comes into play sometimes. And you say, well, they're leaders in our society. They must know better. And these laws are to help our society grow and mature and progress. And so these are all progressive laws that are presented. The same-sex marriage bill is a progressive. We're changing. We're making change.
Yeah, we're progressing and, ourselves right to the fall of Rome.
So, as you could tell.
I mean, and people don't realize. I mean, like we were saying, you know, they bundle it up and package it like this. But it's really, truly a conspiracy because they immediately, in Massachusetts, implement all of these new rules in education, in our schools. And, for instance, a friend of mine has a 14-year-old daughter, and she has a health class. And I don't even want to go into all the specifics of the health class, but the one they had to do, like, a diagram and talk about genders. Now, you and I would have two circles, male and female.
Yep.
Do you know there were eight? I mean, I couldn't possibly come up with eight.
That's the new norm.
That's
the new norm. Everything is the new norm now.
And, eight.
And normalizing our children.
And you talk about
that's
gender
the term
confusion?
You hear too. We're older people that are dinosaurs, and the new children, our next generation need to be normalized. And I've heard that term used. They need to be normalized because we're bigots, and we view life different and old-fashioned, or we're not tolerant, you know. And I get offended with that when I hear that, because I think right is always right, wrong is always wrong, and you can't make wrong right, and you shouldn't be the one dictating that when it's blurred and it's gray.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there needs to be some lines in the sand, and that line in the sand just keeps moving out. And even beyond what we're talking about, I mean, if someone stole something in the 30s or 40s, it was pretty serious. Now
right.
It's, you get a pass. It's like, well, he had some
or
issues.
Or cheat on a test.
Or whatever. Everything is okay now. And I think we got to have some lines. And I think those lines have to be redrawn.
Yeah.
And it's hard because it's... But I do feel that some things are coming around. But
doesn't
it's
that make your life
so
much simpler?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you're male or you're female.
Mm-hmm.
You fit in society. You know, you don't have to create all of these craziness. You complicate your life so much that...
I don't know how you get eight. I'm trying to think. What would
I'm still trying to think.
I can see three or maybe four. But.
Well, I don't know. We were discussing this ourselves, and it's like, oh, you might want to bring that chart in because I've got to see this. I have no idea.
Little poster.
I know. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to tell me it's not a conspiracy, you know? I mean, it's like a misery loves company. And who's funding this? I mean, why are these politicians giving so much pressure? Where are they getting the pressure from?
Well, there's a couple things. One is there's a belief, you know, we believe a certain way, I believe a certain way, and there's another group that really feels they're right. So, I mean, it's from a conspiracy viewpoint, I think the main thing when you mention conspiracy is there was an article I read a few years ago on Tim Gill, you could Google Tim Gill and you'll find an interview that he gave, and he said they're not going to know what's coming. And Brian Brown explained what he was doing, but he's basically funding local politicians to change the landscape and bring in a more, and that to me is pretty smart. I mean, mm-hmm. he started Quark, he has billions of dollars, he sold Quark, and this is his major initiative. And he's basically been plunking money and testing from like almost like a marketing. Okay, we can take that politician out because he's weak, or he's so pro, we're going to make him look like he's not pro family, and turn everybody on him to get this person in. And he did a lot of that. And if you look at Rhode Island, you know, look at what percentage is homosexual in the United States.
It can't be too much.
We have a gay mayor, head of the house is gay. A lot of our politicians.
Yeah.
Okay, so you look at the major leaders and you go, that's not representative of this country. It's not representative of Rhode Islanders. And the country does not, when it goes to the vote, the people vote 31 out of 31 times
right.
against it, yet the politicians vote in. Why? Well-funded, and they're very organized. And NAM is very organized, too, and they've had some major wins the last couple of years. They only started in 2007.
Wow.
But there needed to be someone that stopped that train, and I think they're doing a good job of doing that. But it's education, prayer, education, and our funding. I mm-hmm. mean, if they're going to do that, I think there has to be a 501c4 for marriage as well. You know, so
to place the right kind
pro-family.
Of
yeah,
pro-family.
I mean, that's kind of what NAM's like. Doing is doing the same sort of thing to try to. Put good candidates in there that have a good.
I think that's so important to understand that, you know, the local politicians are where the state representatives come from, where the, mm-hmm. you know, then the U.S. representatives come from. So every election really is important, and it's really important to know where your politicians stand on, mm-hmm. on the things that are really important to yeah. not just you, but your children and society. And, I think, like you said, a lot of people aren't really holding their representatives in these liberal areas accountable for these votes on civil unions or gay marriage.
Mm-hmm. Got to speak up.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Rhode Islanders definitely were speaking up when they were trying to get same-sex marriage in. And the politicians were very surprised. The last hearing, they said, I can't believe how many stacks of paper I have in front of me that are all against this bill. What do you have to say for that? It was fascinating because both sides were against the civil unions bill that's going to be looked at and voted on tomorrow in Rhode Island. Nobody wanted it, yet the politicians pushed it through anyway. It was amazing.
They feel like it's a compromise. Are they that yep. naive, or are they just...
No, I think there's certain things like this that don't get a lot of backlash unless you really magnify it. And I think that's what NAM's saying is, look, you said you were family... And you were going to vote against it, vote for traditional marriage, and then you voted against it. And I think what they're doing is saying, look, it's on paper. You can't hide. And I think what happens is there's so many bills, you just can't keep up with what. It's amazing. It's amazing how much gets turned through. And there's good bills. I don't want to bash the politicians, but because that's not right either. There's good people that are trying to lead us. But when you see these sorts of things happen, it's kind of hard to keep a objective view. You look at it and go, how did that happen?
Yeah. You know? So what's going on in Rhode Island? Like you said, they did not vote, they voted against gay marriage in Rhode Island.
Well, gay marriage, the bill was killed.
The bill was killed.
Yeah, okay. They couldn't get the votes in the House on the marriage bill.
And so now they're currently debating or they're voting on? What's going on with the civil unions?
The bill was changed to a civil unions bill from a marriage bill. The first pass of it, it was almost like you whited out marriage and put civil unions on it. And in the hearings, it even came out. He says you could see it through there. And so they said, we're going to change that. So they changed it. And now it's a civil unions bill. The House approved it. The governor said he'll pass it, he'll sign it. And the Senate hearing is tomorrow. The Judiciary Committee is going to make a decision tomorrow. And then it'll go to the floor if it makes it out of that committee. Or so, it could die. If it dies in that committee, then it doesn't go any further.
Okay, so it's just the committee right now.
Yeah.
So what's your feel? What's going to happen? Do you think this, what happened in New York?
I have no idea. It's crazy. No, I mean, after what happened in New York,
you
just never know. It's amazing. Last minute, someone says they're going to do something for you. It's just, when I looked at the New York example and when I see how this has been progressing over the last year, it's so unpredictable. It was either unpredictable because they said the same-sex marriage bill was going to push through, no problem. In Rhode Island. It was clear sailing. You have a gay house who sponsored it, who says, we want to push this through. The governor says, I'm going to sign it. All ducks in a row. They couldn't get it through the House.
So what stopped it besides the people?
Lot of people were hammering and saying this and really bringing to light what this bill would do. A lot was religious liberties, you know, and looking at the children and the ramification for education. And so they just, now it's a civil unions bill. And it looks like it's going to have the same, there's arguments about the religious liberties portion of it not being tight enough. But during the last hearing with this, on this bill, the people for Marriage Equality Rhode Island said that if this bill passes, I will be the first. The head, Mary said, I will be the first to sue the state.
And get it changed over in the courts. Marriage. Exactly what happened in Connecticut.
And they even said that, you know, when they asked under the during the testimony during the committee.
So
and they said it right out.
Who votes for the civil unions bill is voting for gay marriage. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
If you say you're against gay marriage, then do not vote for the civil unions bill.
Right.
Because it's the same thing as voting for gay marriage.
But that's not how it's been marketed, promoted. It's been promoted as different and. It has all the 1,000 rights that marriage has, but it's going to protect in these areas. But
it's really not just so that, you know, Harry and Joe can, you know, go off into the sunset and you know, live happily ever after and have the same rights as a married man and woman. It's to infiltrate the minds and hearts of our children and to change society to be openly homosexual. I mean, did you see the gay pride march in New York this day, today?
No, I saw some excerpt from the Massachusetts Boston one, and
it's pornographic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just when I looked at the sisters walking down in Boston, the men dressed in white habits, you know, the sisters of I forgot what they call themselves, but I don't even want to mention what the name was. It was basically what it is there's a lot of people that just hate the church, faith, hate anything to do with this. And so they're going the other way. And so it's in your face.
Yeah.
And I just could not believe what happened in Boston. And it didn't even have to, you don't even have to look at it you think of a 6-year-old watching that parade, it would just be walking by. It was, there should be laws against that.
I know. I mean, literally, it was pornographic.
Yeah, and even if it was men and women. You shouldn't have that on the main street in downtown Boston going down on a float. You know, it's just nuts.
And this is what they want you to embrace.
This is the children will figure it out. The parents will figure it out. We got to throw everything out there and let them deal with it. And I think we need, coming back to what we were talking about with marriage is, in children, you need to have some foundation that you work from, and I think we need to come back to that. Mm-hmm. You know that is wrong,
I know.
And I don't think anyone argues that it's not. If you have children, I don't know. If you talk to someone who has children, you look at it and you go, yeah, I don't think I'd want my child looking at that.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I know. I would click the station really fast.
Sometimes you can't, though, if you're walking down the road.
Oh, I know. Oftentimes on this show, we come back to Humana Vitae and how prescient, you know, Paul VI was. And, mm-hmm. you know, the contraception leads to, you know, divorce, leads to mm-hmm. Abortion and blah, 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 blah. And all this stuff, you know, is like, why couldn't we have just put the roadblock back in the 60s?
No, I know. We're part of that. I mean, you look at, you know, it's been a slow march down. Where do you stop? You know, where do you stop? It just keeps going.
I mean,
you're
is this
right.
the
you're
final right. nail in the coffin of marriage?
I mean, you wonder what else is there. You know, what else is left?
I mean, it already, you know,
sanctity
people,
of life.
Yeah, it's just so funny because the average heterosexual isn't running out to get married anymore. So why are the homosexuals so anxious to get married?
That's what it is. Marriage is so watered down. I'm a minority now.
I know.
I mean, you're right. I mean, we haven't done a, you know, when you think of a committed husband, wife with children, that unit, and that is, I still believe that is the best unit for society.
Oh, no doubt.
And when you see that broken apart, it's sad to see families divorce.
Yeah.
And you're sad to see the children. And sometimes it's beyond, you know, it's hard.
I know.
I know it's hard. So it's, but yeah, we got to work toward building that up and holding that together. There should be more services to help keep marriages together. Rather than sign a paper and you're gone.
Oh, I know. Even
it also means everything. Yeah, like you said, it's been maybe four or five laws that have really gotten us to where we are now.
Yeah. You know, and even the government, you know, like if in order to get welfare, you can't be married. And it's like, or have a, you know, your husband living with you. It's like, okay, so what does that do? That's encouraging women, you know, or men to leave their women so that they don't have to take care of them. And it's like, we've done everything to discourage the building block of society. And it's nuts.
But on a positive note, there's a lot of people that are, I think the core that is there are stronger. You know, I mean, I was talking to someone today that, you see what's around you and you see all the pain and suffering, and I think there is a move toward trying to come back to that.
Yeah.
People
I would
try
hope so.
I think people try.
Yeah.
You know, you try, and I think sometimes our you know, we all have our problems, and it's so easy just to walk away from problems.
Right.
You know, and that's our humanity. So you gotta
have
commitment.
It just shows that the church has had it right all the time, and then it continues to be chastised, you know. But it's really not, the church is not being vindictive or hateful or spiteful mm-hmm. to homosexuals, because, you know, the church and the clergy in the church believe that the way to heaven, you know, is either chastity or in mm-hmm. a committed marriage relationship between a man and a woman. And you know, the church wants everybody to get to heaven. I mean, that's their mission.
Right.
And to say that they're hateful is just wrong. And we just have to keep standing up for marriage.
We need to love everybody. And there's certain principles that you live by. And we all are sinners. And we all have
Absolutely.
Our baggage. And you just, but that doesn't make, well, since I do it, it's right.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, it's wrong, you know, there's a sense of
they
sin.
They want us to
But, well, we'll just change the laws.
Yeah,
we'll change the laws so it doesn't feel so bad, you know, that now it's right. Guess what? It's right today. It was wrong yesterday. It's right today.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for, you know, putting up the good fight. Hopefully we'll hear good news out of Rhode Island tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you stand up for traditional marriage, because it's the loving thing to do, not just for you, your family, and society, but also for those people who may be attracted to the same sex. When you look in the mirror the next time, you too will realize yours is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.